Sketches by Boz, by Charles Dickens. Dramatised for radio by Stephen Wyatt. Today's story, The Steam Excursion.
It is undoubtedly good for the soul to think well of your fellow men and women, but it's perhaps wise not to think too well of them. A lesson which was learned in a rather painful manner by the amiable Mr. Percy Noakes. Mr. Percy Noakes was a law student of some 28 years. Mr. Percy Noakes was what is generally termed a devilish good fellow. He had a large circle of acquaintances and seldom dined at his own expense.
Morning, Mr. Noakes.
Morning, Mrs. Stubbs.
Here's your breakfast.
If any old lady whose son was in India gave a ball, Mr. Percy Noakes was master of ceremonies. If any young lady made a stolen match, Mr. Percy Noakes gave her away. And if any member of a friend's family died, Mr. Percy Noakes was invariably to be seen in the second mourning coach with a white handkerchief to his eyes, sobbing.
A splendid idea, upon my life. A glorious idea. It will be such fun.
It may be readily imagined that these numerous avocations were rather calculated to interfere with Mr. Percy Noakes's professional studies. He had, therefore, after mature reflection, made up his mind not to study at all. A laudable determination, to which he adhered in the most praiseworthy manner.
Mrs. Stubbs!
Yes, Mr. Noakes, did you call?
Indeed I did. Now, if Mr. Hardy should call, you know Mr. Hardy, Mrs. Taunton's cousin.
The funny gentleman, sir.
The funny gentleman. That's him. If Mr. Hardy should call, say I've gone to Mrs. Taunton's about that water party.
That what?
The water party. The steam excursion.
Oh, you wouldn't get me in a boat of any description, Mr. Noakes.
Then you are missing out on one of life's pleasures, Mrs. S. Oh, my goodness. Is that the time? I must be off.
Very well, sir. A steam excursion. I'd rather die.
Percy! Dear Percy, how good to see you!
Mrs. Taunton was a good-looking widow of 50, with an unmarried daughter who possessed the form of a giantess and the mind of a child. The sole end of Mrs. Taunton's existence was the pursuit of pleasure and some means of killing time.
Take a seat, Percy. Do.
Thank you, dear lady.
I know. You've come about the water party.
I should rather expect I had.
Excellent fellow.
And now, no doubt, you'd like me to tell you all about my plans.
The moment I had the thought, I knew you'd not let me down. Emily!
Here I am, Mama.
Mrs. Taunton's large but interesting daughter now advanced to join them, with that ballet sort of step which some young ladies think so fascinating, something between a skip and a canter.
Oh, do tell us your plans, Mr. Noakes.
It seems to me that the best way will be to have a committee of 8 to make all the arrangements and manage the whole set-out.
Clever creature!
Then I propose that the expenses shall be paid by these 8 fellows jointly.
Even cleverer creature!
Now, my plan, then, is this. Each of these 8 fellows shall have the power of asking 5 people.
But what if...
What if what, dear Mrs. Taunton?
Somebody chose somebody will unsuitable.
Now, perhaps it would have been wiser if Mr. Noakes had inquired whether Mrs. Taunton had anyone in mind. Because, of course, she did. The Briggs family. But alas, Mr. Noakes did not pursue the matter. He was, after all, such a devilish good fellow.
There's no need to worry. Well, you see, there must be a meeting of the committee at my chambers to make all the arrangements, and these people shall then be named.
Ah!
And every member of the committee shall have the power of blackballing anyone who is proposed.
Oh.
And one blackball shall exclude that person. Well, this will ensure our having a pleasant party, you know.
Oh, what a manager you are, isn't he, Emily?
You're so clever, Mr. Noakes.
Thank you. Yes, I think it will do.
It will do very well. But do tell me, Percy, who are the 8 gentlemen to be? You'll have to be careful.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about that. I know plenty of fellows who'll be delighted with the scheme. Of course, for a start, we shall have...
Mr. Hardy.
Percy. Cousin Jemima. Emily. How are you?
Cousin Hardy.
The very same.
Mr. Hardy was a stout gentleman of about 40. He could sing comic songs, imitate hackney coachmen and fowls, play airs on his chin, and execute concertos on the Jew's harp. On such skills rested his claim to be known, in Mrs. Stubbs' words, as the funny gentleman.
Hardy, you're just the very man I wanted.
Oh, I thought I was innocent of crime. I had no idea I was a wanted man.
Very good.
Yes, I am very good, which is why I should not be a wanted man.
But you're wanted for another purpose.
Another porpoise. I had no idea that any porpoise or even whale was interested in my existence. But then we live in a whale of tears.
And so it went on. Mrs. Taunton's objections to anybody by the name of Briggs were lost in her cousin's facetious interruptions. Eventually, Mr. Noakes managed to give Mr. Hardy a detailed account of the proposed excursion.
Oh, capital, glorious! What a day it will be! What fun! What a party! Water party, I should say.
Then come back with me, Hardy. We must draw up the names of the different members of the committee.
Now, Percy, I think I should mention that on no account...
No count? A baron, then.
Cousin, you are too much.
After as much discussion between Mr. Noakes and Mr. Hardy as if the fate of nations depended on it, the names of the different members of the committee were agreed upon. It need hardly be said that, all unwitting, one of the names chosen by Mr. Noakes was that of Alexander Briggs. Now, in normal circumstances, Mr. Alexander Briggs was a peace-loving, mild sort of fellow, too. But he had a sister and a mother. Mrs. Taunton and her daughter were not Mrs. Briggs's favourite people.
Alexander?
Yes, Mama?
You do know who is at the bottom of this proposal for a water party, don't you?
Would it be Mrs. Taunton, by any chance?
Yes, it is.
But I hardly know the woman.
Well, I do, Alexander. And so does your sister. And that should be enough for you.
The only thing is, Mother, I don't want to upset Noakes. He's a good-natured fellow.
Good-natured, but misguided. Besides, I have no wish that the water party should not take place. I think it a charming idea. Julia deserves the opportunity for her guitar playing to shine.
You just don't want Mrs. Taunton and her daughter to take part.
Precisely. When is your committee meeting?
Next Wednesday at 8 at Mr. Noakes's chambers.
See to it, Alexander.
The meeting duly took place on the day arranged. The 8 members of the committee were punctual in their attendance.
Chuzzlewit! Hardy, dear fellow. Hello. Copperfield and Briggs, welcome.
Without undue ceremony, Mr. Percy Noakes was elected chairman, and business proceeded swimmingly. Until...
Gentlemen, we now move to the important matter of balloting.
Ah, yes.
A tea caddy has been placed on a table over there in a dark corner of the apartment. In front of you, you will find 2 backgammon men, one black and one white. Each of us will read our choice of guests, and then we will vote. I need hardly say that I expect everyone to act in a generous and positive spirit.
Of course.
I shall start by reading my own list of guests. Mrs. Taunton, Miss Emily Taunton, Mr. Simpson, Mrs. Simpson, Mr. Whizzle.
The names were respectively balloted for.
Well, Hardy?
This is terrible. I'm afraid they've been blackballed.
All of them?
All of them.
But this is extraordinary. After all, Mrs. and Miss Taunton were in part the initiators of the whole scheme.
Perhaps we should carry on. Perhaps we should. Perhaps you would like to read us your list.
But of course. Mrs. Briggs,
Miss Julia Briggs, my uncle, Mr. Samuel Briggs, my aunt, Mrs. Edith Briggs, and my niece, Miss
Well, Hardy?
They've all been blackballed.
Oh, all of them? The whole family?
These things happen. As the peanut said to the piano tuner.
Something's clearly gone wrong. Perhaps Mr. Hardy would like to read us his list.
The balloting proceeded, but one little circumstance which Mr. Percy Noakes had not originally foreseen prevented the system working quite as well as he had anticipated.
Gentlemen!
Gentlemen, it would appear everyone has been blackballed.
Oh, everyone?
Everyone?
As matters stand, no one will be going on this steam excursion. It really does seem a pity after all the hard work, but either the whole plan must fall to the ground, or a compromise must be effected. Which is it to be?
The compromise, then. After all, we're all English. We understand compromise.
Good. Then I suggest the form of balloting should be dispensed with, and every gentleman just tells the others whom he intends to bring. Those in favour?
A crisis was averted. The Tauntons and the Briggses were reinstated, and the party formed. But the matter, of course, did not end there.
Mr. Noakes? Mr. Noakes, wake up! It's a lovely day, Mr. Noakes.
And indeed it was. Mr. Noakes dressed himself, took a hasty apology for breakfast, and sallied forth to Strand Lane. He hailed a waterman, and a few minutes later, Mr. Percy Noakes was on board the Endeavour. At 9:10, the committee embarked in a body. They commented favourably on the arrangements and prepared themselves to take full credit as boat after boat came alongside and the company gradually assembled. Among them was Mrs. Briggs with her daughter Julia, a nymph of small stature with a pronounced lack of musical talent and the very pronounced possession of a lisp.
Ah, Mr. Noakes, there you are.
Mrs. Briggs, how delightful. Oh, and Miss Julia too.
Mr. Noakes?
I just wanted you to know, Mr. Noakes, that we shall not lack for entertainment.
I think not.
Not when Julia has brought her guitar, haven't you, Julia?
Yes, Mama.
So do let us know when it's best for her to play.
Ah!
Percy!
Mrs. Taunton, how delightful. Sir, I believe you know Mrs. Briggs.
My dear, how do you do?
And how is dear sweet Julia?
And dear sweet Emily?
Such a brave choice of colours.
Oh, such an original choice of hands.
Is that Julia's guitar case?
Oh, is that Emily's sheet music?
Does she plan to play?
Does she plan to sing?
It's going to be a very crowded programme.
Ah, you're old friends, I see.
No, we know each other very well.
Oh, yes, very, very well.
Now, if you'd be so kind as to excuse us, Mrs. Taunton, Mr. Noakes, we must go and find dear Alexander.
Just a moment, Mrs. Briggs.
Yes?
There's someone I'd like to introduce.
Yes, I was just thinking I hadn't made the gentleman's acquaintance.
May I present you all, Captain Helves? Our dear friend, Mr. Whizzle, being unfortunately prevented from coming, I did myself the pleasure of bringing the captain, whose musical talents I knew would be a great acquisition.
How do you do, dear fellow? Mrs. Briggs?
Yeah.
Miss Briggs? Charmed, I'm sure.
Since the captain was a very splendid-looking military gentleman, Mrs. Taunton's triumph was considerable.
Captain, on behalf of the committee, I offer you a most sincere welcome. We do have a great deal of musical
talent.
It's
all arranged. He will sing duets with Emily. Captain, if you would be pleased to conduct dear Emily to the poop.
With delight, dear lady. Come, Miss Emily.
There. Everything works out. Perfect. Hardy! I say, Hardy.
Oh, there, me Hardy.
Is everybody on board?
No, they seem pretty interested to me.
I mean, is everyone here?
So far as I can see, and if the eye can't see, what can?
Well, then, this is it. Now, where's the master of the boat?
Over there.
Excuse me.
Can we set off now?
Sorry, sir.
Off we go. I mean, we can start up the boat now.
Oh, I see, sir. Right.
Oh! There goes Captain Hills. What is that?
Do not panic, Miss Emily. In my experience, the letting out of steam consequent upon a steamer's departure is rarely attended with any great loss of human life.
Oh, Captain, you know everything.
Then the band started up. Soon after, the dancing commenced. And the punch was served.
Miss Emily?
Yes, Captain?
Might I have the honour of this set?
Oh, with pleasure, Captain Hills.
Congratulations, Percy, a triumph!
Ah, for both of us.
This punch is excellent. Oh, dear Emily, she looks so enchanting dancing, don't you think, Mr. Noakes?
Charming.
Mrs. Briggs is looking quite put out. I can't imagine why.
Why?
After all, dear Julia is dancing too. Even if it is only with some spotty face on the clock. This punch really is delicious. Percy?
Yes, Mrs. Taunton?
Would you ever consider dancing?
Oh, I have too many duties just now, dear lady.
It has always seemed to me that you have just the legs for dancing.
Well, that's most kind of you, Mrs. Taunton, but I am 28.
That's not too old for dancing. After all, I am... Well, a little bit older than you are.
Nobody would guess.
You're not just saying that, you naughty man.
No, of course not. Oh, look, the set is ending.
Well, Emily, did you enjoy your dance?
Oh, yes, Mama. The captain was most attentive.
Oh, delighted. I've not enjoyed myself so much since the ball before Waterloo, when I was but a lad.
Then perhaps you could dance another set together.
Yes, soon, of course, when I get my breath back.
Of course. Oh, just a moment. Where is he going?
He appears to be paying his respects to Mrs. Briggs. And Julia...
Oh, I do believe he's going to ask Miss Julia to dance. Emily, keep smiling. People are looking.
Well, Alexander, I was going to complain to you about this Captain Helves replacing Mr. Whistle. Most unorthodox, but...
You no longer wish to complain?
Mrs. Taunton looks as if she has taken poison, as well as far too much punch. Their lion is our lion now.
Who's that girl over there?
Where?
There.
Well, surely you know who that is. Emily Taunton. You've seen her before.
Briefly.
Alexander. Surely you do not think she is attractive.
No. What gave you that idea?
Before long, the Knoll would be in sight, and Mr. Noakes realized it was time to organize the entertainment before lunch. He had deemed a band sufficient, but had been so deluged with kind offers that he thought he ought to take advantage of them. He was, after all, such a devilish good fellow.
Now, as Mrs. Taunton mentioned, Captain Helves, I believe you might be willing to oblige us with a song.
Well, you see, I'm afraid I only sing duets.
Emily will sing a duet with the captain, won't you, Emily?
Yes, Mama.
Excellent.
You'll go and practice.
Yes, Mama.
Perhaps, dear Mrs. Taunton, you would like dear Julia to accompany them. On the guitar, I mean.
I'm sure we're very much obliged to you, Mrs. Briggs. But my daughter always sings without accompaniment.
And without voice.
Perhaps it would be as well for some people if their voices were not quite as audible as they are to other people.
And perhaps if gentlemen who are kidnapped to pay attention to some person's daughters had not sufficient discernment to pay attention to other person's daughters, some person would not be so ready to display that ill temper which, thank God, distinguishes them from other people.
Which persons might that be?
Ladies. Whichever persons to whom it might legitimately apply. Insolent!
Ladies!
Such a creature!
Come, come, ladies, don't behave so. Please. I know this isn't meant.
But of course it was.
You'll think better of it in the morning.
But of course they wouldn't.
Come, come, make up and let that be the end of the matter.
But of course it wasn't.
Above. That can change like a man's love.
By the sun's constant rays.
That night's tears chase away.
We will pass quickly over the musical events of the excursion. Miss Emily sang her part without the slightest reference to the captain, and the captain sang so loud that he hadn't the slightest idea of what was being done by his partner. Still, they were rapturously received.
Bravo! Bravo!
Alexander, what are you thinking of?
Then the guitar playing of Miss Julia Briggs in a new Spanish composition was likewise rapturously received.
Bravo! Bravo!
Captain Hells, what are you thinking of?
The entertainment was concluded by a strange young man who did things with an accordion.
I wonder how he did that.
Mrs. Taunton continued to gloat. Mrs. Briggs continued to glower. But so thick was the throng, neither registered the exact whereabouts of their respective daughters. Nor were they sure of the precise location of Mr. Alexander Briggs and Captain Helves.
Well, Mrs. Taunton, here we are at the Nore, and luncheon is almost ready. It's ideal weather, too. Perfect conditions. I can't imagine how things could be better. What?
Marry me, Prestige. Oh.
I think I'd better get everyone in to lunch.
The company duly descended to the feast set before them. It was only then that missing persons were noted.
Mr. Hardy, have you seen Julia anywhere or Alexander?
No, I was going myself to find Miss Emily in view of her mother's...
Interesting condition.
Exactly.
In the end, Mrs. Briggs, tempted by the sight of her rival in extremis, decided Julia would be safe with her brother. Mr. Hardy, meanwhile, became involved once again in the exquisitely amusing joke of slyly chalking a large cross on the back of the gentleman descending to dinner. Soon the company was tucking into their lunch and accompanying wine below. The boat, meanwhile, started its return home. The wind, which had been with them the whole day, was now directly in their teeth. The weather had gradually become more and more overcast, and the sky, water, and shore were all of a dull, heavy, uniform lead colour.
I say, Noakes, don't it rain?
I think it does.
Don't it blow, too?
No. Anyway, it'll soon clear up.
Yes, no doubt of it.
Down below, a substantial cold-boiled leg of mutton started to shake like a blancmange. There was a hearty sirloin of beef, which looked as if it had been suddenly seized with the palsy. The sweets shook and trembled till it was quite impossible to help them, and people gave up the attempt in despair. Then the table vibrated and started like a feverish pulse. Soon everything was shaking and jarring. All attempts at eating were abandoned. The motion of the boat increased. Gradually, members of the party decided to brave the elements to seek fresh air on deck. One of the first was Mr. Hardy. All attempts at joviality subdued, all jokes forgotten. Mr. Hardy sought the security of the awning on deck. And there he found...
Cousin Emily and Mr. Alexander together.
Oh. Emily, what would your mama think?
She's past caring.
She won't be in the morning. Remember, you are a Taunton, and this is...
A Briggs, sir. And what is wrong with that?
You know perfectly well what is wrong with that, Alexander. How dare you spend time spooning with this flibbertigibbet?
That is my cousin you're referring to, ma'am. And your son was kissing her.
Kissing her?
Yes, kissing her.
Alexander, words fail me. But if you are here with the sly Miss Taunton, where is Julia?
How do I know?
Well, I thought you were looking after her.
Just a moment, ma'am.
Mrs. Taunton, you are in a disgraceful state. What is it?
If I'm not mistaken, there is your daughter.
Ma,
canoodling with Captain Helves?
At your service, ma'am.
Alexander, Julia, I can bear so much.
So can I, ma'am.
It was at this point that the weather really got bad.
Oh, I did warn you about boats, Mr. Noakes.
Oh, well, you were right, Mrs. Stubbs. Everyone was drenched, of course. And Mrs. Taunton had to be carried home in a stupor.
Well, drink does that to you, Mr. Noakes.
That was after somebody recognised Captain Helves as an undischarged bankrupt who owed them money.
Dear, oh dear.
So Mrs. Taunton passed out for good, and Mrs. Briggs had hysterics and dragged Julia away, but not before she'd assaulted Mr. Alexander and Mr. Hardy. Then Mr. Hardy dragged Miss Emily away, saying she'd shamed the family.
Oh, Romeo and Juliet stuff, sir. It's my favourite play. Oh, bless you.
Everybody got very, very wet.
And got very nasty colds, by the sound of it.
And you know the worst of it, Mrs. Stubbs.
What?
Everybody blamed me. Oh. They said it was all my fault. I should have known about the weather and the feud between the Briggs and the Tauntons and the captain being an undischarged bankrupt.
Oh, well, never mind, Mr. Noakes. People have short memories. They'll soon be asking you again to arrange all sorts of fun for them.
Never.
I'm sure they will.
I mean, I'll never do it again. Ever. Why should I put myself out for a set of ungrateful louts? I've had enough. I see only one way out. I'm going to go back to studying the law.
Which is exactly what Mr. Percy Noakes has done. He has become positively misanthropic and has all the makings of one of the most ferocious prosecution barristers of our day.
In The Steam Excursion, Percy Noakes was played by Marston Bloom, Mrs. Taunton by Shirley Dixon, and Mrs. Briggs by Joanna Munro. Cousin Hardy was Jeremy Swift, Captain Helves, Stephen Critchlow, Alexander Briggs, Ben Crowe, and Julia and Emily, Becky Hindley. The voice of Boz was Nicholas Farrell. Sketches by Boz is dramatised by Stephen Wyatt and directed by Sally Avens.